Look with me to this word picture now in Leviticus. I hope you'll never get this word picture. If you forget what I say about it, you remember the Bible, you remember this word picture. It's a beautiful, beautiful picture. I'm going to read you the first, and just be praying for me. I'd like to get a lot of points across if the Lord bless me to do so. I'm going to read you the first seven verses here of Leviticus 14. And then I want you to get this picture in your mind. Because the Holy Ghost has put this here for us to get a great picture. Leviticus chapter 14, beginning in verse 1. I won't comment on every verse I can, but I've got one specific thing I want to aim at. Now, you read this word picture? And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. And even a leprosy was a horrible disease. Horrible disease, it represents sin, of course. The priest shall go forth out of the camp. The priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper. Then shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed two birds, alive and clean, and cedarwood, and scarlet, and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an open vessel over running water. And for the living bird, he shall take it, the cedarwood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop. He shall dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy seven times, shall pronounce him clean, shall let the living bird loose into the open field. Now, you, even old dummy like me, can see that. What's he talking about? I can see that. I got more insight than more of these commentators do on this one. You do too. Think about that simple-minded child of God who can just look at the scripture and think of what they mean. There's two birds right there, brethren. One of the birds represents the Lord Jesus Christ. He was slain for his people's sins. He would die for their sins. But there's another bird that was, he was dipped in the blood of that bird and then taken out. And what could be freer than a bird flying an open field? And my friend, the reason that you and I are free today is because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Don't you ever forget that picture. We're free. The devil wants you to be in bondage. Let me talk to you a minute. Well, I don't know where to go, really. I got so many places I'd like to go. I think I'm going to start in John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Let's look at this. Listen. We got a lot of freedom with Jesus Christ. Look at John chapter 8. Let's just read a little bit of this. God, people are in bondage lots of times. The devil wants to put us in bondage. I won't read everything in Galatians, but I'm going to Galatians after I get through John, probably. The whole book of Galatians is talking about freedom in Jesus Christ. What happened, right? The Apostle Paul had preached grace to those people. They'd embraced grace. But then you know what happened? Some Judaizers got in among them. They began to put them in bondage. They began to say, this grace is just too good to be true. It's not, it can't just be grace. You've got to mix the works into that grace. You know, they're having a big battle in the Presbyterian church right now. Some of the conservative Presbyterians are amazed at this. On this very thing, they're trying to even introduce in a subtle way kind of a combination of grace and works. And there's no such thing as a combination. Romans 11 makes it plain, if it's of grace, it's no more of work. If it's of work, it's no more of grace. They don't mix. It's like all of work don't mix. Brethren, salvation is by grace, every phase of it. Our eternal deliverances, our timely deliverances, it's all of grace. Don't ever forget that. We can do nothing without Him at all. But I'm going to tell you this, listen. The devil is spending most of his time trying to get God's children in bondage. Many people are sad today, even under the sound of my voice probably. Burdened down. I get that away. I get looking at old Zach Guest. I get in despair sometimes. I've never really seriously thought about suicide, but I have thought about it. Not seriously, not even to the point I'd even get close to it, I don't think. But I thought about it. You know, it'd be nice to get out of this miserable existence I'm in, what a great sinner I am, and just forget it, and I'll be glad when God takes me home. On the other hand, I believe I've got some more work to do. I want to do it. I'm kind of torn between two. That's the way Paul felt in a way. My friend, even young people sometimes, yet in the very depths of despair. We had our neighbor down here, Brother Kip, that I think was probably a real Christian, and he killed himself. I won't go into all the details about that not too long ago. I just felt so bad. I heard about that. I had felt impressed to go talk to old Kip. I never did do it. I wish I'd done it. Too late now. But anyway, you've got to be in pretty much despair to think about something like that. But even if it's not suicide, it's just kind of locked up. You just can't function anymore. You're just depressed. You're standing on the problems out there in the future. You're standing on your present-day problems. You have fears and worries. Brethren, the devil specializes in that. But I tell you what God wants to do. He wants his children to be like that bird, free. We do sin against God, and it's terrible we sin against God, and God will smite us in the conscience, and He ought to, and He'll chastise us, but the reason He chastises us is to bring us back into fellowship with Him. My friend David felt burdened, terribly burdened in Psalm 51. He ought to felt burdened. He did some terrible things. But when he got right with God, friend, he liked that free bird. I love that. In Psalm 51, verse 12 and 13. He said, "Restore to me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy what?" He said, "Restore to me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit." Thy free spirit. "Then shall I teach sinners thy ways, and transgressors shall be converted unto thee." You know what? I want to tell you about a bird that was flying. Brethren, on the day of Pentecost, there was a little bird flying away. His name was Peter. Thank God. Thank God. Here's a man who did things that he should never have been allowed to preach again. Have you ever done things you should not think I shouldn't even be allowed to come to church anymore? If the people knew how I felt, what a dog I am, they wouldn't even want to sit beside me in church. You ever felt that way? We probably all felt that way sometimes. I get to think of every preacher in the world better than I am sometimes. I just think I better quit preaching. I'm just kind of sharing with you. I don't feel depressed today, but I'm just telling you how I feel sometimes. You probably feel the same way in different ways. Old Peter, he's this Lord of snake, my friend. He had denied the Lord three times. He had cursed bitterness. I don't even know who the man is. What a terrible thing Peter did. Have you ever let God down? Have you ever had a chance to think up for him and didn't do it? That you're such a big chicken that you just didn't do it? Look what Peter did. He cursed bitterness. I don't even know who the man had three opportunities. Blew all three of them. Had to go out and weep bitterly. But my friend, I'm telling you, how in the world could this man ever have the courage to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and call those sinners to repentance and rebuke those stinking Pharisees? How could a man have the courage to do that? He's a bird flying away, he's a forgiven sinner. Brethren, he trusted in the blood of the slain bird so he could fly away and be free. And what a great sermon that was on the day of Pentecost. Isn't that wonderful? My friend, you can fly again. There may be some little children of God on the side of my voice. You've got a broken wing. Our God, brethren, can put a gospel flint on that wing and get that thing healed, and you can fly away again and be happy in the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, I want you to do what David did in Psalm 142, the last verse. It's in the Bible for a reason. We must need it. So look at Psalm 142, the last verse. I'll quote the part of it that I need out of there. He said this. He said, "Lord," he said, "let my soul out of prison that I may praise thy name." Brethren, the devil puts God's people's soul in prison. They can't praise his name. While we're praying for revival, said the Bidgie, you've heard some of this down in the old days, and I have too. I hope to God, brethren, we'll have such a revival that in this very place called Great Chapel, we'll hear shouts of praises ring out to heaven itself. Some of you youngsters need to turn some old shouting sisters. It wouldn't hurt to have a few young shouting sisters. Wouldn't hurt to have you shouting, "Brethren, brethren, we got something to shout about." But this world gets us down so bad. We're such rotten, ungodly sinners. And the environment is so bad. And the future looks so bad sometimes. We look at all that stuff and don't look at the Lord. We get down so low, we can't even rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ anymore. We ought to rejoice in God. It's glorifying to God when we rejoice in Him. My friend, let's say like I quoted that Psalm a while ago, 126. "Then said they among the heathen, the Lord had done great things for us. The Lord hath done great things for us." Well, if we're glad, we ought to be glad in our dear God. We can't glory in ourselves. We glory in the cross. Glory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's remember that free bird. Let's look at John 8 for a moment. Because listen, the devil will tell you, if you have a bad habit you can't break, you can break it too by God's grace. If you need some help, come see me. I'll help you. See some trusted brother or sister. They'll help you if you can't do it on your own. Some been bothering you a long time. That's happened lots of times in the Bible. The little lady over there had an issue of blood 12 long years. 12 years! She tried it all. She spent all her money on physicians and she got worse. My friend, she finally had the faith that God gave her to come, "If I may but touch the hem of His garment." And she did it, my friend, and she was healed, and God's still in the healing business today. My friend, over the same book of Luke, I think it is, I forgot what chapter it is right now, there's a daughter of Abraham that bowed down for 18 years. My friend, Moses was on the backside of the desert, 40 years. Joseph in the bondage of Egypt, 13 years of the prime of his life. Something long-standing, my God, get the power, take the gospel sword, and break the chains off of the children of God. The devil's a lying, he's a lying devil, what he is. He'll come and tell you, you can't break this sin. You've tried time and again. You cannot do it. You've been depressed so long, you'll never rejoice again. The lying devil will tell you that. Look what he said in John chapter 8. Jesus is talking to a bunch of these old Pharisees, but he brought some wonderful points out. Look in verse 31 of John chapter 8. My friend, when I get through preaching this sermon today, the half will not be told. The fourth won't even be told. I can see right now, I'll get a half of where I even thought I was going to go. But I hope to God He'll liberate you today. That's my motive is, that God's children be liberated, my friend, that the bondage be broken, the captive be set free, the blind be given sight, the poor have the gospel preached unto them. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if ye continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Ye shall know the truth. The truth shall make you what? Free. That's what will make you free, is the truth. You been reading your Bible lately? That's what's wrong with you. Get reading the Bible. Believe the Bible. Read it. If you don't read it anyway, it's good for you. It'll invigorate you. It'll help you. The Holy Ghost will get to your mind. The truth will make you free. Not the lies of the world. Not your own conscience. Not your own imaginations. Not you trying to figure things out. It's the Word of God will make you free. But those old Jews thought they were free. See, a lot of people think they're free. They're not free at all. They're in bondage. They answered him. They're so proud of themselves, those being Jews. I hope you're not proud of yourself today. If you are, you're making a mistake. You have nothing to be proud of yourself, my friend. I'm telling you what, we need to say like the Apostle Paul, in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. That's the truth of the very day. Right now, it's true of me. In my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Brethren, but the Spirit of God's in my soul also. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. They thought they were tied up in bondage, didn't even know it. And how sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. He's a habitual person who's habitually in sin. And if you weren't born again, you'd be there. You see what I'm saying? If you weren't, that's where you'd be. You don't know that, but you would be. Listen, friends, people are not born again are servants of sin. You have trouble with sin, but you're not a servant of sin. You're not a slave to sin. The devil says you are, but you're not. Yeah, you may sin, but you're not a slave to it. You can't be happy doing it. You can't be content doing it. You're like Lot. Your righteous soul is vexed day by day when you're not living like you ought to be and you're not where you ought to be. And that's a blessing. We're vexed. God will give you no peace, brethren, until you surrender to Him and do it His way. You can't do it your way. Frank and Sinatra tried how he wound up. He did it his way, huh? Verse 34. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. The servant abideth not in any house forever, but the Son abideth forever. Look at verse 36. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Now, you remember that, because I want to go to Romans 6 for a moment. I've got a point I'm going to make here. I want to go to Romans 6, and it's tied to that same scripture, that the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. You listen to me. Especially those whose hands are hanging down, whose knees are feeble this morning, maybe because of sin. Isn't it good to come to church, brothers? If you didn't go to church, you never would get out of sin, probably. Isn't it good to come to the house of God and see each other every Sunday and be accountable to each other? Isn't that good? Brother, I tell you, it's good I come to the house of God every Sunday. I'm glad I've been going to church all my life. Praise the Lord for that. No matter where I'd be. I might be in prison. I might be in a God of where I'd be. I'm such a rotten sinner, but brother, I know I got to face the saints every time, every Sunday, every Sunday, every Wednesday. Help me to stay straight. To be on the sound of God for Jesus Christ sometimes. Break the chain of some sin about to get me down. Encourage me when I'm down. Come to the house of God. Don't be laying out of the house of God, brethren. We need to be there every time we can. Be in the fellowship of the saints on the sound of the gospel. Look what he said in Romans chapter 6. This is powerful stuff. I'll read 4 or 5 verses here and then comment on them. Look at verse 17. Now the doctrinal part is up above this. You have been set free from sin, he says. That's in regeneration. I can't talk about that because it takes me the rest of the time to do that. What's the practical effect of the doctrinal truth? I have been set free from sin and regeneration. What's the implication of that? I've been born again now. What does that really mean? What does that mean? I've been born again by God's grace. What does that mean? Let's read it and see what it means. But God be thanked in verse 17 of Romans 6 that ye were the servants of sin. You were the servants of sin. That means you're the slaves of sin. But you have obeyed Him from the heart, that form of doctrine which is delivered unto you. Now, you may not obey like you want to obey, and I haven't either, but you have obeyed from the heart, you've been born again. Those of you who even think you haven't obeyed, you have obeyed if you love the Lord, you want to follow Him, make a commitment to Jesus Christ. Being then made free from sin, my friend, you've been set free from sin by the regenerating grace of God. You have no idea what it's like to not be unregenerate. Probably forgotten about that. But I tell you, an unregenerate mind is a terrible thing. Like I read earlier, given to the lust of the flesh. Can't think straight, brethren. It's a great blessing to be able to think straight today because we've been born again by God's grace. Being made prisoner of sin, you became the servants of righteousness. I think after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For ye have yielded, surrendered yourself. You need to, brethren, And sisters, yield yourself to God. Become more available to God. And if there's anything standing in the way of you being available to God, get rid of it. Is it a friend that's dragging you down? Get rid of that friend, so-called friend. It is a habit. It is the way you're spending your money and your time. Get rid of that. Yield yourself to God. Give Him your time. Give Him your best. You can't have it both ways. You can't serve God and mammon. So He said, yield, submit, surrender. What else kind of synonyms can we use? Verse 19 again. I think after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh, for ye have yielded your members service to uncleanness. In the old days you did that. That's what they do on Saturday night in Memphis. They yield of the nightclubs and stuff. What are they doing down there? They're yielding their members as members of unrighteousness. For as ye have yielded your members service to uncleanness and to iniquity, even so now, yield your members servants to righteousness and to holiness. God, how can I best serve you? How can I serve your people? How can I spend my time? I love that song. There used to be 269. What is the new book? Take my hands and let them be. Take my feet and let them be. Swift and beautiful for thee. Take my mouth and let me sing always on with my king. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Take my silver and my gold and thy might will I withhold. Take my heart, it is thine own. It shall be thy royal throne. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. You didn't have any righteousness. You had no desire for righteousness. What fruit had you then of those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Brethren, look at verse 22. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end of everlasting life. Now, you've got to reckon yourself that way. He says that even earlier, you reckon yourself that way. Now, you think about that. That's the truth. You meditate on that. Now, you read my illustration? You old-timers have heard it a lot of times. You newcomers have not heard it, so you didn't hear it. Kevin likes this one. Brother Kevin does. Don't you, Kevin? Brother Hawkins' horse. You like Brother Hawkins' horse, don't you? Oh, Brother Hawkins was a good old preacher, brother. Back in the old days, before they had cars, they ride a horse to town. He told us lots of times. I've always liked this. He said, when I came to town, they have a hitching rack in front of the general store. He said, I tied that old horse down to the hitching rack where he couldn't get away when I went in to buy my stuff. The old horse tried to get away. He couldn't get away. He tied the hitching rack. All right? After a few times he did that, Brother Hawkins said, one day, I just wrapped the bridle around the thing. I didn't even tie it. But the horse didn't get away. You know why? He thought he was tied. If he had just jerked that bridle, he could have got away and ran off and had a big old time. My friend, I'm going to tell you something. If you've been born again, your bridle had been untied. But you think you're still tied because there may be a tie in the past. You tried to get away and couldn't get away. Brother, you've been sprung free by the grace of Jesus Christ. Listen, walk in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free, and don't be entangled again in the bondage like the Galatian letter said don't do. Let's go over right now for a minute. Galatians chapter 5, I think it is. The whole Galatian letter is about this, brethren, just about. At least a lot of it is. And let me just, while I'm at this, we'll go to verse 4 of chapter 2. I want to tell Greg Chapman something. Brethren, we've got a lot of freedom here, but I want us to keep it freedom too. I don't mean licentious freedom. I don't mean just to be able to be chaotic at all, because where the Spirit of the Lord is our liberty. But brethren, you'd be surprised at liberty we have in this church, some churches don't have. If we want to have a prayer, we have a prayer. We want to have one. If we want to have a testimony, we'll have a testimony. If we want to have preaching, we'll have preaching, wherever God directs. That's a wonderful freedom there. Some people are tied down to a form. It's just like they had it written down. Some people who wouldn't dare have a program, they got one here. They got one here. And you know, there have been times when people came to Great Chapel, there were old badges from different churches that I've been kind of felt cramped because I don't want to hurt their feelings. I don't think we're some kind of a nut. But I also don't want to just quit having our freedom. So what I do is just go ahead in a kind way and just do what we always do. But I tell you, friend, there have been people before that have tried to spy out our liberty. And that's what the devil wants to do, is to make us into come into bondage. Come and just sit here just like we're not even free. Brethren, the church is a place to enjoy God. And I didn't say the chaos. You know better than that. We don't have chaos here. We ain't got a bunch of wild-eyed charismatics running around speaking in tongues, acting crazy like that. But brethren, what we do, we have freedom of the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we ought to have. You ought to enjoy church. Not in a sober-minded way, but in a joyful way. Zechariah talked about that. I won't turn there right now and get a picture of the church. It says, the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof, but there will be old men and old women on their staff for age. That's the picture of the church of Jesus Christ. We have the old people here that are young at heart, though. They're young at heart. They're old folks. And they get feeble. They get infirm. And they can't do what they want to do, but they love to be at the house of God. And we've got young people running through the streets. Now, be careful and don't bust the brawls and stuff. We've got to keep them in order. But you know what I'm talking about. The picture is we're free. They're glad to be at the house of God. They like to be with the old people and the young people and all mixed together. That's how God's family is supposed to be. It's not a bunch of age-segregated stuff, friend. That's how God designed to be that way. It's where the families of God worship together. If you don't have a family, you've got one in God's house. There may be a single person. I hadn't got any kinfolk. Brother, you got a whole house full of kinfolk in the church of what you ought to be. They say blood's thicker than water, but I'll tell you something thicker than blood, spirit. Spirit's thicker than blood. God's Word tells us, my friend, sometimes you've got to forsake father and mother and brother and sister. You'll find a harmful father's mother and brother and sisters. Brother Abel is sitting back like a mule-eating briar. He believes what I'm preaching. I know he does. He's lived it too, but he's a good old Baptist boy that loves God. Brethren, listen, we need to love each other, love God more, and be free in the Spirit of God. If you're in bondage, you can get free by God's grace. Listen, sometimes you may need some help to get free. If you do, get the help. Don't be so proud. I'll give you the verse on that too if you want it. Over in James chapter 5, verse 16. Listen to this. Listen to this now. He said, confess. You're having trouble with something you can't beat. He said, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Listen, we need to help each other out in the house of God. And like Brother Tony McAdell used to say, he's the church's SA. We're not AA, we're SA. We're Sinners Anonymous. It's a bunch of sinners helping each other out. My friend, the church is not a place for just people who have never done anything wrong. The church is a hospital for God's children of God. But brother, when you get well, you don't stay in a hospital. You get on a firing line again. And some of you may be wounded. I don't know why God put this on. I know God put something on my heart. Why, I don't know. But He knows why He put it on my heart. There may be some wounded people out there. My friend, you get to God's hospital. You get healed. You get back on the front line. You ain't supposed to be in a hospital forever. The devil puts you to a hospital. You know, they'll put people in institutions sometimes and just keep them for years and years and years in there. They get to thinking that's the normal environment. That's not a normal environment for a child of God. The normal environment for a child of God is to be happy in the Lord Jesus Christ, even when we have terrible troubles and all that, brethren. We are joyful, sorrowful, yet rejoicing, Paul says. Go to Galatians. I'm going to go to read a couple places. Look in chapter 2, verse 4. You see, Paul was worried about the Galatian church. He had been preaching to these dear brethren about the wonderful doctrine of grace. And they were hacking the Lord. And these old Judaizers came in and said, listen, you don't understand. That's too good to be true. You can't just have grace. What do you mean grace? Don't you know you've got this works man? And you know who the ally of that is? It's your own soul. Because every self-righteous Pharisee among us, and we all are, by nature, we think that's right. Don't tell me I'm wrong. I know I'm right. I got the Bible on my side. Let me tell you what you try to do. You ready for this? Here's what you try to do if you don't be careful. You all know better by now, but we still do it. We do just what Adam did, just exactly what he did. He goes out in the Garden of Eden, he commits a sin. What does he do? Runs and tries to hide. What a dumb thing to do. How are you going to hide from God? Besides, where are you going to get any help anyway? You know what he had in mind, Brother Free, I think? This is a little extra Bible, so you ain't going to buy this, but I still think it's right. I'm going to get behind this big tree over here, clean my act up, get these fig leaves on, I'm not going to meet God. I'm naked right now, I'm ashamed of myself. I'll put these fig leaves on, I'm down to meet God. Ha, ha, ha. Big deal. Your little fig leaf of self-righteousness. Brethren, your righteousness is even as filthy rags. You work hard to live right, but you don't do it to get points with God. You do it because you love God and want to please Him. What should Adam have done? Well, God had to find him. He has to find you sometimes too. Brethren, what he should have done is run to God. It's the only place he can find any help. But the devil says, no, run from God. You don't do that. You run to God, friends. Listen, God got a welcome mat up in heaven. He got a welcome mat right now for prayer warriors. People who are sinners, God got a welcome mat. He ain't like old King Ahasuerus. Thank God he's not like that. He's not sitting up there like some oriental despot with that golden scepter. And you hope to God when you come in there, he'll lift it up because you know you're a goner. That's not our God, Brother Fred. That ain't our God at all. But our God, he got a great big welcome mat in heaven. You know who put it there? The Son of God put it there. He opened up the way of the Most Holy. The Bible says we have boldness to come to the holiest of all, brethren. And our conscience purged from those old works. Listen, I'm not telling you, you know that I'm giving you a lot of Bible on today. I'm giving you a lot of verses. Listen, I'm not preaching some uncleanly devised fable. I'm talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ, the liberating good news of the gospel. That's what the word gospel is. It's good news, brethren. It's good news, a victory in battle. Anyway, look at the Galatian letter. These poor old Galatians, now they get put in bondage by these old Pharisees. These self-righteous Pharisees put them in bondage. So they thought, well, I know it's nice to have grace, but however, we've got to get circumcised, do this, or we can't have any points with God. Now, some of you may be there. You probably are, because I get there sometime myself, and I know better. That's our old nature, though. If you had some bad teaching in the past, you're probably going to have a harder way to try to get out than I've had to get out of it. But I tell you, to appeal to your human nature, I can just live a little bit of life above somebody else over here. If you think you're a little bit of life above somebody else, that self-righteousness is going to put you down here. That's the demerits on self-righteousness. You know what Martin Luther said in the Heidelberg Disputations? I won't read it again. It's a profound book. I read a book about that. I didn't read the Heidelberg Disputation. I read a book about it. But Luther's right about this. He said it's not the things you do bad, it's the worst works. It's the things you think are good. He's right about that. You know why? Because, my brother, the Lord will let no flesh glory in His presence. I am the Lord, it said in Isaiah chapter 42. I am the Lord. That is my name. And my glory will not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Then not a one of you going to go through heaven's gate saying, look here, Peter. If you go, I don't know where Peter's standing there or not. He's probably not there. So everybody thinks he's there, you know. And you're not going to go, hold, look at these good works here. Not a one of you going to enter that way. You know you're going to enter? My brothers and sisters, you're going to have a beautiful white robe on. It's the impending righteousness of the blessed Son of God. Brother, you're righteous, unless He was righteous about it. That's a mind blower, isn't it? That's what it says at the Lord. She had a good Bible study. Brethren, it said in 1 John over there, we are righteous as He is righteous. We have the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ, my friend, that we're clothed in, and we have never sinned. There's no condemnation. That's why Paul said about this freedom in Romans chapter 8. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made me what? Free from the law of sin and death. I'm not under that law of sin and death. That you do and you live and you don't do and you die. We'd all be dead ducks. You wouldn't even have a chance to do it anyway because you're born in sin. I love that Conrado this morning preaching on sin. Didn't y'all? I mean, preaching on death. Did y'all hear that? It's the fellow preaching on the radio today. It's great. Boy, I tell you, the gospel is a great thing, isn't it? Let's look over here. These poor Galatians. Now, see, the devil will do us that way, so you got to remember this. Look at the Galatian letter. Look at chapter 2. Look at verse 4. And he called a false brethren, unawares, brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Jesus Christ, that they might bring us into bondage. I hope Grace Chapel will be free. You must pray. You know, that's not automatic. We'll be free. We've got to pray about it, haven't we? It said in the Corinthian letter, chapter 3 of the 2 Corinthians, for the Spirit of the Lord is, there is, what is it, Bible readers? Liberty. Freedom. You and I need to pray, brothers and sisters, our church services, our homes, our individual lives be filled with the Spirit of God, then we'll experience liberty. Because my friend here departs, even in a fitting way, we're going to be in bondage. So they try to bring them into bondage, right? But Paul had an antidote. Look at chapter 5 of the Galatian letter. And there's an effort implied here. We must do this. We've got to do this in an intelligent way. Look what he said in verse 1. Of Galatians 5. I've just hit my places, brethren. I've had to hit the high points today. He said, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty where Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. Sometimes tradition puts us in bondage. I am an old Baptist. I'm unashamed. If I wasn't an old Baptist, I'd be something else. I'm a Primitive Baptist. I don't worship that name, but I'm not ashamed of it. That's my heritage. Brethren, I know some old Baptists like I know people in other denominations. I'm not just running old Baptists down. Brothers and sisters, we don't be careful. We put tradition before the Word of God. The Bible is filled with that. Read the 15th chapter of Matthew and the 7th chapter of Mark. These Pharisees, they said, they began to criticize the disciple of Jesus Christ. You transgress the traditions of the elders. And Christ said, listen, you're making the Word of God of none effect by your traditions. Brethren, we must have the pure water from the Word of God Almighty, and when the Word of God gives us freedom, we have freedom, my friend, to do what the Word of God says do. We must do that. Don't be in a bondage in your own mind. If you have, and I've got, we all got bondage probably, the Word of God frees us from it. That's not chaos. That's not chaos. I'm a conservative. Brother, conservative conserves the past. A liberal is by definition a proud person because they think they have nothing to learn from the past. I'm talking about the way they use the terms in current political rhetoric. My friend, I'm a conservative, but I tell you what, a conservative is not a blind conservative. He does not worship conservatism either. We worship the Word of God. We worship according to the Word of God. Look at that verse 13 now. Because, see, you could use liberty the wrong way. It's a balance. I talked to my son Isaac last night. We're talking about, he said, Daddy, we have to strive to always be balanced, don't we? I appreciate him having that insight as a young preacher. We have to be balanced. We can go off on a tangent, can't we? We just go off on tangents as a human being. We don't watch it. So look, brothers, we got all this liberty, man. Just hallelujah. We got all this big old liberty here. Well, you got to be careful how you handle that liberty. Look what it says in verse 13. He said, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. That doesn't mean I throw all caution to the winds. It doesn't mean I don't watch myself carefully. I make sure that liberty I've got, I use it, my friend, to serve my brothers and sisters. That's what I'm talking about. All right, let me go ahead a little further. Because I've got two more things I want to say. I want to talk to my friend about death a little bit. Okay, we got old people in our church. You're going to die pretty soon. Let's just say that. Okay, let's don't be afraid to say that. If you get on your deathbed, call for somebody to come be with you on the deathbed. Let's talk about dying in it, can we? I look what George Rushing said. George Emmett Rushing, who lived to be almost 100 years old. He had some preacher son-in-laws and a preacher son, James Allen, with his son, and Gene Thomas and Sonny Powell's were his sons-in-law, and then David Powell's was his grandson, a preacher. I went to see my Uncle Emmett died a great death, like he lived a great life. He had a great patriarch. But I remember something just really moved me, what he said. Gene Thomas was there. He said, help me die. He said, help me die. I like that. What does he mean? He means, read me the Word of God. Sing me some songs. Have some prayers. Let's have a graduation ceremony. Don't be afraid to talk about death. Friend, you have nothing to fear about death. I'm going to read to you in a minute. And God's Word is designed to set you free. Listen, I envy some of you old people. You're fixing to see the master before I will, probably. Your troubles are almost gone. You know that? You got those old aches and pains. That won't be very much longer. You know that? Your eyes not working too good. You're going to have some good eyes one of these days. You just got where you can't go with much energy. You're going to have so much energy someday, you're not even going to sleep anymore, ever. You're going to serve the Lord all the time. Brethren, listen, you got something to look forward to. I appreciate what Tim Cannon said one time about an old sister down there in that church. Poor old widow woman, poor she could be. Had to worry about stuff. You know, I used to cut yards for people. These old women, I used to feel sorry for them. They couldn't do anything. Their hands wouldn't be more than a jar of arthritis, and they couldn't plant flowers anymore, and they just mourned. I felt sorry for them. I learned how to appreciate old people. My mama used to love old folks. She just had a sympathy for them. Then with this old lady down there at that church, she got cancer. And it made her happy. She told her sister, she said, thank God, I'm not going to have to worry about that old rotten porch. I ain't going to worry about it anymore. I'm over here long enough to worry about it anyway. Now, I know we got to keep our porches up when we can. But brother, I tell you what, listen, you can't get your roots in too deep in this old world. You're going to leave it. I'm kind of like somebody asked old J.P. Morgan when he died. And they said, they asked his advisor, I think you might have told me this. They said, how much did he leave? He said he left all of it. That's right, he left all of it, brother. You ain't going to take a dime out of here. You better enjoy what you've got now. You did right for God, but don't hoard it up. Don't be like that fool in the Bible. I say a fool because God called him a fool. He said, you know, what am I going to do here? I've got this big crop that's just borne a lot of fruit here. I don't know what I'm going to do. So he, instead of getting it to the poor like he should have, been rich towards God, he said, I don't know, I'm going to tear down my barn, build some new barns. I'm almost throw all my goods there. Say, soul, take thine ease. You have much goods laid up for many days. And God's Word said, and Jesus Christ said this, he left the red letters of my Bible. He said, thou fool, he said, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall these things be? Listen, friend, you be free. Let me tell you something, too. God had got the time of your death set. You can count that. You put that in the bank. My friend, some people argue about that. That's crazy to argue about that. Our time are in God's hands, my friend. Do we not number our days? Listen, I don't know when. That doesn't mean I don't take care of myself. You can't take a doctrine like this and be a fool with it. You take care of yourself. You don't be a fool and tempt God, brother. I'm telling you, I don't care how much health food you eat and how much exercise you do. You ain't going to prolong your life one second more than God wants you to be on this whole earth. If you got enemies after you trying to kill you like they did Paul for 40 years, they'll never get you, brother, till God raises you to go. So don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. First, you get to the heart problem, you probably be a... lady have pallbearers at my funeral, maybe. Who knows? I don't know. Who knows? Who cares? Listen, friend, you'll live to be an old man. I don't know what I'll do or not. I used to think I want to. What if you would glorify God better by dying young like Stephen did? He glorified God in the marriage. That's a young man. Some people live to be old folks. We ought to say, God, look, that's in your business and not my business anyway. That's in your hands. I just want to do the best I can in the different stages of life that I have. If I die young and glorify you, that's fine. If I live middle age or old, that's okay, God. You just get glory out of my life. Let Paul's prayer be my prayer, that Christ may be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Anyway, let's talk about dying a minute. Don't be afraid to die. Like I said here the other day, and somebody took up on it and even did better than I did with it. And it's not original with me anyway. I wish it were. But the only thing original about me is my sin, original sin. Anyway, though, death, where's thy sting? It's gone. Now, I don't like wasps. I don't like wasps. I don't like anything that flies around and bugs me. I don't like those old wings that just drive you nuts at night. But I tell you what, if a wasp has got a sting, he can do some real harm. But if that sting's been removed, all he can do is annoy me. That's all that's going to do is annoy us. The sting is gone. Oh, it's annoying. I don't. Who wants to? I'm not morbid. I don't just think about death all the time. It's not pleasant at all. It's unpleasant. But it's only unpleasant. It's only annoying. It has no sting to it, brethren. The sting's been taken out by God Almighty, by Jesus Christ on the cross. We sing a triumph song. That's a triumph song in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. It's an exultant song. We're exulting over death. We're exulting over the grave. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? We're making fun of death, what we're really doing. Anyway, look with me. I'm going to have to quit in a minute. Look at Hebrews chapter 2. I'm going to quit saying I'm going to quit, by the way. I've got to get reformed. Somebody really got me last week about that. Look at Hebrews chapter 2. I'll quit when I'm through, and I'm not going to be here forever. Look at the 14th and 15th verses of Hebrews 2. Listen, friends. One reason our dear Savior came, that you don't be afraid to die. That's when he came. That's when he came. Listen to what he said, these glorious language in Hebrews 2, 14 and 15. For as much then as the children, that's you and me, the children of God, are partakers of flesh and blood. That means we have this human nature. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, that's talking about Jesus Christ, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, and to deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Don't be afraid to die. It'll put you in bondage. If the Apostle Paul had been afraid to die, he wouldn't have been free to do all he did. He knew his time were in God's hands, so he just went ahead and he served God and was abandoned. I like that term. I wish I could do more of that. Sometimes I'm too cautious, brethren, in the wrong way. I like to serve God with abandon. When you, Brother Fred, just give him all of it. Just be a radical Christian. So don't be afraid to die. And I'm going to read you some songs. Now I've got the climax in a minute. You think it even gets better? You better believe it gets better. I'm going to tell you something to blow your mind out of the water. Look over here in the song book for a minute. This is talking about death night. Now I've got two or three songs I want to just read you a little bit of this. Look at number 46 in our book. This used to be Sister Bruce's, Brother Kiefer mentioned Brother Reuben's song. Well, this is Sister Bruce's song. Look at that last verse. Look at that last verse of Psalm number 46. O bliss of the purified. O Jesus the crucified, thee will I sing, my blessed Redeemer, my God and my King. Get this. My soul, filled with rapture, shall shout o'er the grave and triumph in death in the body of the saved. Isn't that wonderful? Look at also this one. It's 255. 255. Nearer my God to thee. Nearer my God to thee. Look at that last verse. Or if on joyful wing, cleaving the sky, sun, moon, and star forgot upward I fly, still all my songs shall be nearer my God to thee. Nearer, my God, to thee, nearer to thee. And finally, look at number 363. Some people don't like this song, but I like it. It's kind of an old, I don't know what you call this. Some of you musicians could tell me. I don't know whether it's country gospel or what, but I like the song. I like the song because I like the sentiment. I'll fly away. Remember the bird I told you about in the 14th chapter of Leviticus? Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. When the shadows of this life have grown, I'll fly away. I love this one. Like a bird from prison has flown, I'll fly away. Just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away to a land where joy shall never end. I'll fly away. Brother, that's a great sentiment. Now let me close with this great climax. Let me talk to you about the ultimate freedom. I want you to go with me to Romans chapter 8. This is a great, great, great chapter, Romans 8. It's an amazing chapter, really. It's one of the, which is absolutely amazing. I don't know what to say about it, but I tell you, it's an incredible chapter for many different reasons. But I want to tell you about a part. I didn't even know about this part until just maybe, I don't know, maybe 20 years ago. When I began to study the Roman letter a little bit, I just was transfixed. I was just amazed, thrilled, excited. But I mean, listen, if you want to get a good article that will go along with this, get on David Powell's PB web station, get his article on New Heavens and the New Earth. Let me talk about that just a moment. I'm going to read you Romans 8 in a minute. Listen, when Adam fell into sin, Adam was cursed, the woman was cursed, the serpent was cursed, the devil, and the earth was cursed, right? You know that's all going to be removed one of these days? And you know where you and I are going to be one of these days in total freedom? Listen, we're going to be in the new heavens and new earth where dwells righteousness. I'm not a premillennialist. I'm not against premillennialism. I'm not one. I'm an amillennialist. But I believe, brethren, there's going to be a new heavens and a new earth. You know why I believe that? Because 2 Peter says that, and he's quoting from Isaiah. He said, nevertheless, we, according to his word, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Listen, let me just talk about that a minute. I'll read this from Romans 8 in closing. Listen. Brethren, I love to look at nature. I'll even look at stuff you probably wouldn't even think was pretty. Judy and I, that's something we'll never resolve, I don't guess. And I'm going to just give up on it. We went to Arkansas here last week to see the Filipinos, and I didn't say anything to her. That's okay. She reads books. I look at scenery. I want to say, Judy, look at that grass out there. She sees grass all the time. Why she look at that grass? I didn't like it. Look at that mountain over there, Judy. Look at that tree. I love nature. She likes books. Anyway, I'm going to pick up my wife, bless her little heart. But the point I'm making is that lay off on you. So I just love nature. It's pretty. We got a pretty world. We got azaleas. We got daffodils. We got, name it. We got it. Pretty stuff. Bradford pears. All that stuff at Noah plants. We got all this beautiful stuff. Brethren, but let me tell you something. All the stuff we see is cursed by sin. Even the blue waters of the Caribbean are cursed by sin. My friend, some of these days, our great God is going to remove that curse off this earth. And it's going to be, he's going to renovate this earth. It's going to be a glorified earth, a glorified environment for glorified children of God to be able to enjoy forever with Jesus Christ. I don't know how to be exactly, but I'll make it all plain. It makes it some things in there just to get, whet our appetite. We may be fly like Superman to the stars. I don't know. Probably will be. You know, that's not funny, Abby. I tell you what. The Lord Jesus Christ, his resurrected body, he walked through walls. He walked through walls. He did. The limitations that we have now, we won't have them anymore. You know what Scatty Farrell said? He thinks we'll have just pure Holy Ghost in our veins. Because, you know, the Bible says, I don't think he's crazy. Let me tell you about that. The Bible says the life is in the blood. And Jesus Christ said this. He said, a spirit has not flesh and bones. He didn't say blood. Has not flesh and bones, as you say that I have. And so Scatty said, he may be right. He said, the life of the blood, hey, we may have pure Holy Ghost in our veins. I hope we're going to have. Brethren, it's going to be incredible. We're going to be tremendously strong and have eyesight that won't quit. And ears, Wayne, no more hearing aids in heaven, buddy. I tell you, you'll hear stuff we've never heard before. We'll have octaves of range that will be incredible music, like we've never even thought about before. We'll have minds, incredible minds, that will comprehend the glorious doctrines of Jesus Christ. And we'll be learning, my friend, forever and forever and forever. You'll never totally comprehend God. I know it says that we'll know if we're known, but you've got to think about something. Brethren, God Almighty is infinite. He's infinite. And as I've said so many times, infinity does not mean there are no known limits. True infinity means there are no limits. God, he's limitless. So what we'll be doing, he'll be unfolding forever and forever and forever. More of his glory, brethren, forever. You can't comprehend that, and I can't either. In this incredible environment. And why I'm so glad, like those Filipinos for today, as one reason I'm an old Baptist, brethren, there won't be a single blood-bought member of the family missing from that great family reunion. We'll enjoy, my friend, at the marriage supper of the Lamb. We won't be worried about the ones that weren't there. Because, brethren, those redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ shall all be there. Now, let me read to you that freedom we'll be in. It's an incredible verse over in Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. I hope you'll remember now my word picture. My friend, be the little bird that's flying because we're dipped in the precious blood of the little bird that died for us. Look at Romans chapter 8 just for a moment. I'll read you a few verses that have to do with that. and then we'll close with this. I'm really going to go to verse 21, but I'll go down through verse 22. You think about this, and you read this and meditate on this. For I reckon, he said in verse 18, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. The earnest expectation of the creature waiteth. It's like the whole creation is doing this. He's personifying creation. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. You really are doing that more than you know. You're groaning within yourself. 2 Corinthians 5 says, you're groaning. Do you groan? You do sometimes. Don't even know you're groaning, probably. You're not, let me say this, children. If you're born again, you're not satisfied right now. And you never will be satisfied if you get in heaven. There's some satisfaction here, but not total satisfaction. At His right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. See, we're not home. We're not home. You know, if you're away from home, if you're a homebody, you want to go home. You may be having a good time in the company, but you really want to go home. Brethren, that's where we all are. And as we get older, we want to go home even more. And we have troubles, we want to go home even more. You know, Brother Bobby Poe used to wonder about this. I'll get this a bit in quoting. Brother Bobby used to say, why in the world does God's children sometimes have to suffer so much right before they die? Why is it? Why is it that some kind of God's children have infirmities and they have losses in their family? Why is it that they have? And he said, I'll tell you what it is. He said, God is winning them away from this world, and He's ripening that grain, brother, like golden grain. He's ripening them for heaven's garners. And I believe he's right about that. Brethren, our God will not allow us to set our roots in too deep and get satisfied. He wants us to be satisfied with Him and what He prepared for the children that He loves. So anyway, the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the Son of God. Boy, there's going to be a coming out day one of these days. You know, these girls, these society, as they're coming out day, brethren, we're going to have a coming out day for the saints. God Almighty is proud of His saints, if I can use that term. He cleansed them in His blood. It's His bride. He's going to present us to the whole universe on these days and say, look at me and the children who Thou gave us to me. Look at my bride. See how pretty she is? I made her pretty. I've got all the spots away from her. I've cleaned her from all of her sins. For the creature was not made subject to vanity, the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of Him who subjected the same in hope. Now look at verse 21. This is a credible verse. And I'll read verse 18, 22 also. Because the creature itself, and He means the whole creation here. If you look at the context, He means all creation. For the creature itself shall also be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the what? The glorious liberty. The glorious liberty of the children of God. We know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves. What are we waiting for? Waiting for the adoption to with the redemption of our body. We're waiting for that. Isn't it great? Well, I'm going to have to quit. Brethren, I hope today you will remember the picture of the bird that's going free. May God bless you go free. May God bless you. When you're in bondage, and we'll get in bondage every now and then, remember that picture again. Brethren, there's freedom in Jesus Christ. There's confession, there's repentance. There's help in Jesus Christ. If you're depressed, get some help from somebody, some child of God. Come to the house of God. Listen to the gospel of Jesus Christ. May the liberty be preached to the captives. Let's bow our heads. Father, I thank You that even though I know that today is a great story that we have considered, but I have not even begun to scratch the surface because I'm a fallible, weak man. Lord, it could be told much better than I've told it, but it couldn't be any better than you read it when we read it in the Scriptures and you apply it to our heart with the Holy Spirit. God, I pray Thee this very day, You will let that Scripture in Luke 4 be fulfilled even this day. It's fulfilled literally when Jesus Christ read those words from Isaiah, handed the book back to the man, and said, this day is the Scripture fulfilled in your ear. But God, I pray Thee in a real sense, though, You'll fulfill that Scripture again today. By some captives here, You'll strike the bands off of them, set them free. Father, may there be happiness in the hearts of Thy children. May there be hope given to Your children. The gospel is a gospel of hope. Father, He's our great anchor who's entered into the veil. We can then be anchored down from this old trouble of this world. You know what everybody needs, God. There's some old people here, some young, some middle aged. They've all got their different burdens at different stages of their life. My Father, You're able to meet all of them and more than adequate to meet them. So, Lord, today, take Your word, I pray Thee, by the Holy Spirit. Make it go down in our heart and mind and remember some things we've heard. And, Lord, live by them and glorify You in the process. In Jesus' name I pray and amen.